ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 22 टेक्स्ट 4 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड बलि महाराज सरेंडर्स हिज लाइफ।
सां श्लाघ्य आत्ममं मन्ये दण्डम् अर्हतम् अर्पितम् यम न माता पिता भ्राता सुहृदश्चादि शान्तिः।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: although a father, mother, brother or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. Because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. Purport: punishment meted out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted by the devotee as the greatest mercy.
Tattenukampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatmakritam vipakam ridvagvapurbhir vidadhan namaste jive tayo mukti pade sadaya bhak.
One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words and body, and who always offers obeisances to you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. Bhagavatam 10.14.8. A devotee knows that so-called punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. Therefore, the punishment awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared to even the greatest benefit awarded by one's material father, mother, brother, or friend. Today's verse is the translation. I'll repeat. Although a father, mother, brother or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. Very relevant to, especially to Indians, because generally Indians are considered to be very, very attached to their mother, father, brother, sister, family people. Indian people are famous as family people. And Bali Maharaj is speaking this wonderful verse. Of course, there is the history that how Bali Maharaj promised to give 3 steps of land to Vaman Dev, who came as a Brahmana Brahmachari. But he couldn't fulfill his promise because the Lord grew into a very large size and conquered everything in 2 steps. Srila Prabhupada writes in one place, this is all bygone history. People are not interested in history actually. It is something very old, but it is different from what news we hear over in the material world. This is dynamic and can be repeated and heard again and again and again, and still it will create a revolution in our heart. So hearing this is very, very important for all of us, and for hearing we need to be awake. So, one good thing about giving Bhagavatam class is we cannot sleep. The speaker, the speaker cannot sleep. I also struggle so much every time I hear. But then, Srila Prabhupada says that there is only one way for self-realization in Kali Yuga, and that is to hear the glories of the Lord and to hear the holy name of the Lord. It is the only way. There is no other way. Bali Maharaj, in the earlier verses, I'm afraid that, you know, I may lose, I be defamed, that I am not able to fulfill my promise. That's my greatest fear. And here he is saying that, my Lord, you have punished me, and is very great because I accept this great punishment. Now, what can I speak about something like this, where the God, Lord has punished a devotee and he feels gratitude for the punishment? Because I don't have any realization of the Lord punishing me. The Lord punishes only his very, very advanced devotees. And by punishing them, through their example, he teaches us how great devotee is. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this shloka over here from 10th canto, Tattenu Kampa Sushamikshamanu. A person who's under all conditions understands that all adversities are coming to him because of his own past deeds. And after undergoing all these adversities, he says, yes, Krishna, I am still your devotee. And such a person is a fit candidate for liberation. And we have seen in past, in present, so many great souls have stood this type of test and come out shining. Srila Prabhupada's life and so many other, even contemporary devotees. And Bali Maharaj is such a devotee like this over here. And he is glorifying. So what can I speak in terms of the Lord punishing? Because all what I see is the Lord simply awarding. There is nothing but awards in our life. It's never a punishment actually. Too insignificant to be punished. As when I was in guest reception, at that time, many things, sometimes we would make mistakes. And we will never get chastised by Radhanath Swami Maharaj. You never chastise. You never say anything. You just smile and go away. Then we later on came to know that only our seniors, they get some corrections that these things go wrong. So you just correct it. Because if I were chastised, I would just probably, you know, evaporate from that small chastisement or leave or go away. So one has to be qualified to take that chastisement from exalted souls. So there is no question of punishment. I can remember all the rewards, the wonderful association of devotees, so many nice things in our life. Here Bali Maharaj is saying that this is too much. He says, a father, a mother, a brother or a friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher. We all know in childhood we have been punished by our guardian many times. But it was for our well-being. They never punish their subordinate like this, Bali Maharaj says. What is the punishment Bali Maharaj has got? First, he has been cheated. It's very bad. You feel very hurt if you are cheated. Then, after being cheated, everything is taken away from him. And then, in front of everyone, he's insulted. And Garuda has personally tied him with Varuna's ropes, and after that he is condemned to go to hell. Get lost, go to hell. So, you know, one thing is good enough, but one after the other, one after the other. This is too much. And Bali Maharaj is saying, they never punish their subordinate like this. So much. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given to me as most exalted. Krishna came from the side of the Devatas. He is the supreme father of the Devatas. He is always the well-wisher of the Devatas. And therefore he is doing good to them. But is he doing bad to Bali Maharaj? Because Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Pitahamasya Jagato, I am the father of everyone. Or he says, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu, I am equal to everyone. So in that context, Lord Krishna is also, Vamanadeva is also the father of Bali Maharaj. As a matter of fact, this verse says, mother, father, friend, brother, they may sometimes punish. And Lord Krishna says, I am Pita, Pitahamasya Jagato, Mata, Dhata, Pitamaha. I am also the mother, I am also the grandfather. So Krishna is all these relations to a living entity. And especially here to Bali Maharaj. So is he doing something wrong to Bali and doing good to the Devatas? Bali Maharaj, being a very exalted soul, can see that Krishna is very true to his word in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. And he says, I regard the punishment you gave me as most exalted. And Srila Prabhupada writes that whether punished or rewarded by Krishna, it is the same. In the material world, it is different. Sometimes we may complain that our parents are bad. Some people's parents have cheated them, have not taken care of them. We attended a seminar of child protection. We have a wing of ISKCON. And in that they define what is, you know, not protecting a child or abusing a child. Not providing him, you know, facilities, not giving him food to eat, proper food, or hurting him in the sense, after you hit him, there are marks on his body, things like that. And statistics was given that in India, many children in colleges in Delhi, in schools they interviewed, even in Mumbai, in girls' schools, in boys' schools, and surprisingly, the number was very large where they came to know that children were abused mentally, emotionally, and even physically. And most of the time, it is said, it is done by the person who is very close to you. Could be an uncle or even the parent. Recently, one friend was telling me about his family member who called up. They had a long conversation. He said that this lady was staying with her guardian. Now she is married and grown up. And she was telling him that how she has strong hatred for the guardian. Revealed her heart. Because when she was a child, young, this guardian abused her. Molested her. And so the parent is supposed to be protecting. So we may complain that the parent is bad and has done so many wrong things to me, or the guardian. What if the parent and guardian is good, has provided all facilities, has given lot of love and care? Is that good? In the material world, on a material platform, all the good and bad is bad. As long as it is on the material platform, it is not going to take us anywhere. And therefore, all these attachments, whether to good or whether to bad, has no standing in terms of eternity. It has got nothing to do. It can be taken to any extent in any relation. Somebody has done something good to me. Yes, I appreciate, I am grateful. Somebody has done something bad to me. And that is what Bhagavad Gita says. Unless one rises above this good and bad and becomes equiposed, fixed up in his relationship to Krishna as his eternal father, he will always be troubled. In our brahmachari class, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj made a statement. He says, for a brahmachari, I just remembered this because when I went down for breakfast, there was something they made which I don't like. So, when I looked at it, I was screaming, it is so hot, why do you make this? And then immediately I remembered this statement by Maharaj. And he said that, brahmachari means simple. Means not criticizing and not demanding and cribbing. Just accepting what you have. So I said, okay, just accept what Krishna is providing instead of cribbing. Not criticizing and not hearing criticism. And so, whether good or bad, it is the same. On a material platform, it has no standing. We may have, just yesterday, Braj Bihari Prabhu gave a nice class on positive thoughts. How one should cultivate positive thoughts. I was also thinking about these things. And one point came to my mind was that when we hear criticism, we create negative thoughts. Just by hearing criticism. And when we glorify or when we hear glorification, we create positive thoughts. I had some complaints, so I went to one sannyasi and I started, you know, my complaint box by this devotee is that, because I'm doing this service and that. And he made a face, a very weird face. Like that, as if when the municipal van, you know, comes to collect the garbage, the type of smell comes, the type of face you make, similar to that, indicating that, stop this garbage, it's smelling bad. And I could realize, as we were discussing yesterday, that there is an aura created around these people who give out positive energy because they are so much filled with positiveness. In sense of seeing good in others, in sense of glorifying others, trying to give everybody a benefit of doubt. And at the same time, addressing issues, which is a big challenge. But because they do that, they emanate such positiveness that when you come in close contact with them, you feel enlivened. And you feel surcharged and you feel very, very happy just by coming in contact with them. So, not hearing criticism, not criticizing. So, in past, so many people have done so many things to us. In present, we may go through so many problems. But what is the point if it is all on a material plane to keep those impressions in our heart? It is better to increase our positiveness. So whether the parent or the friend or the brother or the mother, whoever it is more important for us to live in the present than in the past. Raj Bihari was giving a nice statistics that most of us What is the statistic? Almost 65% of thoughts that we have or we worry about, which will never take place. We are always worried about, you know, what if this happens? And it is never going to take place. But still we are worried about that. And so much energy is wasted. This is one of the gifts given by Kali Yuga cities, which are in mode of passion and ignorance. Just by staying here, so much of bombardment that very difficult. Day in and day out, Srila Prabhupada in the 12th canto, I would like to read some of the qualities of Kali Yuga. And we may think that because we are as devotees staying here, we will not be affected. It is slowly approaching. Srimad Bhagavatam gives a very nice analogy. Of course, I cannot put this directly to devotees. But it gives the analogy that in rainy season, the ponds fill up. And in summer season, they dry. But when they are full, the fishes in the pond start enjoying and reproducing. But they don't realize that again the sun will come and start drying up. And as the sun starts drying up, the pond becomes smaller and smaller and they all get squeezed up, fighting for air and die. Similarly, this is Kali Yuga and it's growing outside like anything. And the effect will come, as it is said that if we are not a part of the solution, we may say we are not participating in anything wrong. I don't like politics, so I am away from it. It's dirty. But whatever they do will affect us as devotees. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada gives a solution. But before I think back on the solution, Sukhdev Goswami says that in Kali Yuga, all these things will decline. There will be no cleanliness, no truthfulness, age will reduce, people will become, their memory will decrease. He says, wealth will be the sign of a man's good birth and proper behavior and fine qualities. Law and justice will be applied only on the basis of one's power. We are seeing that every day. Behaved man, anybody has wealth, even we give them a lot of respect. We give them respect. We understand this man is very wealthy, oh, he's so great. Like one lawyer friend said that they had a party for all the lawyers on some occasion. And they found the judge drinking wine and running behind a woman. He's supposed to make decisions in the court for people's life. This is the situation. But he has a lot of money, he has a lot of power, so he's respected. Men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction, and success in business will depend on deceit. And in India, we also have that system now. Our Court of Law at Delhi and other places as allowing men and women to live without marriage, which we never thought will ever happen in India. Now it's changing. You know, we are living like a very, very... When I first came to the temple over here, I was shocked. I said, what place is this? Because everyone is in white. All men were wearing, says, some dress code. Dhoti kurta. On a Sunday morning we met so many devotees. So we are living a very Vedic life in our dress and our dealings. But we see that outside, just like you go outside Udupi temple, traditional, it was a very traditional setup. Now if you go, just as you enter one lane, which on the right side, which takes you towards the temple, there's a big bar, wine shop. So, I had never gone to Udupi and I was very desperate that one day I was going, Govind Prabhu and we were all going, and I was thinking, wow,
Today I'm going to go to the... And as soon as we entered the lane, the first thing we saw was a wine shop. And all my... I was shocked. I said, my God, I'm going to take darshan of the Lord. But this is what I see. Just next to the temple. So it's growing. Men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction. And success in business will depend on deceit. Because of such superficial attraction, relations do not last long, and then there is divorce. And when you don't marry, there is no question of divorce also. There is suicide. Yes, just day before yesterday, there's news. Very big supermodel, young girl, she committed suicide, being frustrated. Womanliness and manliness will be judged according to one's expertise in sex, and a man will be known as a brahmana just by wearing a thread. A person's spiritual position will be ascertained merely according to external symbols. You may talk to the trees, someone may say. Or you may just preach to high class society people and become a guru. Such position will be ascertained merely according to external symbols. Again, one meeting of, I attended one. All spiritual organizations come together like that. There was a similar one conducted, but on a very, very higher level. Many senior people came. And this one guru, and they were waiting for him. He came. He was supposed to speak. He came over there, and he just sat over there. And they were waiting, he'll speak 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 10 minutes. And then he said, silence is so great, so beautiful. That's all he spoke. That was his spiritual talk. And people consider him to be a very great personality. They worship him. A person's propriety will be seriously questioned if he does not earn a good living. If you don't have a good living, you don't have a good standing. There is so much of social pressure. And it is so difficult to break through social pressure. I would say to the extent of even amongst devotees. So much of social pressure. We have to live a certain lifestyle. We have Anand Vrindavan Prabhu over here. He said, I'm calling you brahmacharis to my house, but I can give you this prasad. Is that okay? Because this is my standard. And I respect him with my heart for being very honest and truthful and genuine. To be genuine is so difficult. So difficult. So much of social pressure. I have to live like this. So much so that we forget that I have to live my life more Krishna-centered. And not this type of, money-centered. And therefore, it is a complete web. This whole social network, economic network is a web where we are all caught in. Somebody has to break through. Make a very strong, brave attempt to go out and be simple. And not worry what people will say. And some people are doing that. So, and anybody who is very good and clever at juggling words will be considered a learned scholar. Could just juggle words here and there, say something, inside out. Life is love, love is great, great is bad, bad is new, anything. And people say, wow, he's amazing. He's so learned. It is like that khastvam hastam story. A person will be judged unholy if he does not have money. You don't have money, you are inauspicious. And hypocrisy will be accepted as virtue. Oh, this guy is so expert. He's great. He's my hero. Why? Because isne itne logon ko maska laga and he's come on the top of the, you know, the ladder. He's expert at hypocrisy. Marriage will be arranged simply by verbal agreement. We already discussed that. And a person will think he's fit to appear in public if he has merely taken a bath. That will be the standard of cleanliness. A sacred place will be taken to consist of no more than a reservoir of water located at a distance. And beauty will be thought to depend on one's hairstyle. Yeah, it's a fact that people spend hundreds of rupees just on their hairstyle. Filling the belly will become the goal of life, and one who is made audacious will be accepted as truthful. He who can maintain a family will be regarded as an expert man, and the principles of religion will be observed only for the sake of reputation. All these things are, we are seeing this day in and day out, that the whole, and it'll grow more. You see it more in the city, it is very well suppressed in the other villages, it is also seen very much in towns, and it is going to grow and affect us. We always, whenever we go out, say, oh, Maya is so strong, it is affecting me so much. But then, there's the next generation which is going to come. It is going to affect them more, and the next, it is going to affect more. So, is it only just criticizing the situation going to help? I was very impressed with the seminar which Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu gave. A strong endeavor to, from one person's side, to make a change, to actually do something practical. One is to inspire people, and Kali Yuga is such a time that I can tell people, you should clean this place, you should clean the place. And people are saying, yeah, some are inspired, some are not. You have to actually take a broom and go and clean yourself. And then people, then also it will take some time for them to think, oh, okay, I should also do this. So the crowd of corrupt people, population will grow amongst all social class. The strongest will gain the politic power, and it will be a very, very horrible situation. People will be so much troubled. They will, it is said, losing their wives and properties to such avaricious and merciless rulers who will behave no better than ordinary thieves, the citizen will flee to mountains and forest. And what will they be? They'll be facing famines, excessive taxes. They will eat leaves, roots, flesh, honey, fruits, flowers and seeds. It'll become very organic in lifestyle. Struck by drought, they will become completely ruined. The citizens will suffer greatly from cold, heat, rain and snow. They will further be tormented by quarrel, hunger, thirst, disease and severe anxieties. And so, this thing is growing, and Srila Prabhupada gives a solution. He says that to keep the masses in purity, kaler dosh nidhe rajan, there are so many faults, but there is only one mahan guna, that is the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And by kirtan, the masses will remain in a pure condition. And he says, everyone should study Bhagavatam and make an all-round solution to all economic, cultural, religious problems of the world. Srila Prabhupada doesn't say that, read Bhagavatam and go back to Godhead. He says, read and make a solution. Find a solution. All solutions are already given over here in Srimad Bhagavatam. As it is always said, the problem is lack of Krishna consciousness and the solution is Krishna consciousness. So, what is, there's one story where Bhima is always When Yudhishthira Maharaj is ruling, he does all the problem solving. At that time, people come in the court and ask Bhima, I have a problem, and he goes and he solves the problem. But one day, a person comes and says that I have a problem. What is the problem? The problem is that the fence which I have around my field is actually moving and eating the field. Bhima says, I've never heard such a problem. I have no solution to this. You go to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Another person comes. He says, I had a big pot. I emptied the water into smaller pots. Then I put it back in the bigger pot and I found it is half filled. Bhima says, this is a very unique problem. Go to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Third person comes is that put an elephant, I saw an elephant go through a needle's eye. Whole elephant could go through, but tail got stuck. How is that possible? So Bhima is confused. And he's real frustrated because generally he solves all the problems. Now he's not able to. And another person comes and he says that there was a big boulder on the road. There were very, very strong, huge people pushing this boulder. Nobody could move it. But one sadhu came and with one push he could do it. He says, you also go to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then they ask this question and the answers to Yudhishthira. And Yudhishthira Maharaj says that this is the effect of Kali Yuga, where a rakshak will become a bhakshak. The fence is supposed to protect, but it will become a bhakshak. Similarly, all of us, in our own way, when we take a spiritual position as a father or the parent, as a friend, are supposed to be in the position of a rakshak. And it is a responsibility. Just being in India is a responsibility. Bharat bhumi le hoi le manushya janama jar, janama sarthak kari kar paropakar. So there is no question of a person not waking up, rising up and taking up to a revolution and fighting this age of Kali. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the supreme rakshak. And I end with this small story of Lord Krishna being on the rakshak. He is very nicely staying in Dwarka with his wives. And his son Pradyumna, now Lord Krishna is a grandfather, has another son, Aniruddha. Now Krishna's children, they look like Krishna. And Krishna is all attractive. So they are also very attractive. And the same Bali Maharaj also has a son. His name is Banasur, who is a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And this Banasur has been benedicted by Lord Shiva with 1,000 arms. Because he played very nice mridanga for Lord Shiva when he was doing his tandava. Banasur has a very, very beautiful chaste daughter. Her name is Usha. And she dreams, and her dream comes Aniruddha. So she reveals her heart. Nobody has ever seen this beautiful girl, Usha. She has never come in public. And her friend Chitralekha says, she's a mystic. And she says, oh, you got a dream of this person. And she makes pictures. And she says, is this the person? She makes the pictures of all the handsome and victorious men throughout the universe. Gandharvas and all the great people. She also has Krishna. And when she brings the picture of Pradyumna, then Usha becomes a little shy. Srila Prabhupada writes, because she understands this is her father-in-law. And then when she brings out the picture of Aniruddha, that time she bows her head down. So Chitralekha, with her mystic powers, goes to Dwarka. And when Aniruddha is sleeping, she flies him back to Banasura's palace. And he's in Banasura's palace and meets Usha. He's a Kshatriya. And he's very, very happy because Usha serves him very nicely. And they fall in love and they're living, enjoying their life. He forgets how time is passing. 4 months pass away. Nobody knows where Aniruddha is. One day he was sleeping in his bedroom, now he's disappeared. And after 4 months, all the Yadus are worried. Where is Aniruddha? So they all go. Banasura is situated in a place called Sonitapur. And so they all are worried and immediately Narad Muni comes and he says, you know, this is what happened. So he's in Sonitapur. And actually in Sonitapur, Banasur comes to know that his daughter is with Aniruddha. So he appears to kill Aniruddha. And as he comes over there, he's very angry to see that Aniruddha and Usha, they are playing dice. Very happy playing dice. And when Aniruddha sees Banasur with his army, he nicely, simply stands up, picks up a gada and he stands, okay, come, let's fight. And Prabhupada writes, this gada is not an ordinary gada of iron. It is made of a special metal called as muru. So he kills all these people. I don't know why Prabhupada in between, from where, some place, I have not read any other place, but he has his purports, Bhaktivedanta purports, where he himself is absolutely absorbed in the pastime. And he mentions details also sometimes. And so Aniruddha kills all these people. And Banasur then ties him actually. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that he could never tie him. It's not possible because he's empowered. He's an expansion. But by Krishna's yoga maya potency, he got himself tied up. And then Lord Krishna as the Rakshak comes with all his army, Balaram, and all the other Yadus, they all decide to attack. And so Banasur, because he's a devotee of Lord Shiva decides to fight on his behalf. And Lord Shiva, with all his bhutas, pishachas, matas, they all come, vinayakas, they all come to fight. Yeah, that word is also there amongst all the bhutas. And they all come to fight. And Shiva opposes Krishna. And there is Pradyumna, who is fighting with Kumbhanda. He is the chief army officer of Banasur. And they all have a very fierce fight. Lord Krishna is fighting and Kumbhanda is killed. Balaram is killing many people. So Lord Krishna, because he wants to go and attack Banasur, he sends a special weapon. Shiva is very fierce. In this weapon, everybody becomes very lazy. And they start yawning. So, you know, Shiva is fighting. And when the weapon comes, he feels like, Prabhupada, they all start yawning. No more fighting. They go to sleep. They all go away. And then Krishna can go and do something else. Then ultimately, Lord Shiva starts fighting with Krishna and he sends his Pashupati Astra. Krishna sends his Narayana Astra. And Shiva sends a most powerful Astra which has no other Astra to stop. That is the Shiva Jwara. It has 3 heads and 3 eyes, 6 eyes and 3 legs, 6 hands. And this Astra emanates a lot of heat. As it is coming close to Lord Krishna, Krishna sends his Narayan Jwara, which is very cold. Koti Chandra Suchitala. And this Narayan Astra captures the Shiva Jwara. And Srila Prabhupada writes that heat No matter how much it increases, it can be tolerated. But cold cannot be tolerated. When it becomes too cold, it's very difficult. And he says, when a person dies, his body temperature goes up to 107 and then immediately it becomes cold like ice. Cold overtakes. So this Narayan Jwara is almost killing the Shiva Jwara. Shiva Jwara starts shouting for Lord Shiva, please save me, save me. Shiva is helpless. So Shiva Jwara realizes, Master is not going to help. He is not the real Rakshak. He turns to Lord Krishna and he says, please help me. And he starts glorifying Lord Krishna. And because of his prayers, Krishna says, I'm very happy. Don't worry, you can go. You're released. And Shiva also, you know, is standing there. Banasura cannot tolerate. He comes to fight. And Lord Krishna is about to kill him. And one of the mothers of Lord of Banasura, Kotara, she comes to save Banasura by appearing naked in front of Lord Shiva. And in front of Krishna. And Krishna just turns his face. Then again the fight ensues. Krishna with his Sudarshan starts cutting off the 1,000 arms of Banasura. Actually, Banasura has 500 arrows, 500 bows with his 1,000 arms. And with two arrows on each bow, he starts releasing and on Lord Krishna. Now, Krishna just cuts everything with his Sudarshan. So, Lord Shiva feels very sad that my devotee, all his arms are being cut. So, he comes and prays, please, you know, forgive him. And Krishna says, no, don't worry. I have already promised Prahlad Maharaj that I will not kill his descendants. So I leave him with four hands, from 1,000 to 4. And then he says, over and above, I give him benediction. He'll become immune to old age and death. And he will become your eternal servant, Lord Shiva's. So Banasura, very happy, offers his obeisances to the Lord and he brings Aniruddha and Usha in a great palanquin in front of Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna is proving that he is the most favorable parent, and here in the case of Aniruddha, grandparent. Pitamase Chagato Mata Dhata Pitamaha is also the grandparent. So with that, I would like to end this particular class on this shloka. That's all I could think about. I'm sure you have many more other... Anybody has any comments or any questions they would like to share? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.